We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic!
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is April 11th, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what is going on, man? How are you?
It's cold and desolate, and there's nothing to be happy about. No, I'm obviously joking, but also it feels that way after taking a loss to the Bucks without Giannis, without Chris Middleton, and getting absolutely just doo-dooed on by Bobby Portis Jr. for an entire game. It really just takes it out of you, I'm not gonna lie. And can I be frank, I it's crazy to say this, I have become a little apathetic. Like, I mean, this is happening, we're losing, I just feel like I can't stop anything, so let me just see how it plays out. And I've already gone through like the emotions of it, I've handled that part. And now I'm just at the point where I'm like, whatever happens, happens. And that's all it is for me at this point. And we'll see. I'll get re-energized come either it's play-in or playoff time. But right now I'm just like, can this regular season just be over? Tell me how it ends. We can go to the play-in or playoffs, and then I can be locked in again. But right now it just like, it's brutal. I was just glazed over watching this game tonight after, you know, first half. You're just sitting there like, I need this to end for my sanity.
Yeah, I don't know if you've tuned into the show for like a pick-me-up. I don't know that this is going to be the best one. I'm going to try not to be just like completely negative, because the last like six days, like since the Charlotte loss, like, yeah, the Bulls game was good, right? Because it was like reminded you of how good this team can be and how good I still believe they are. But that has just now been like surrounded and clouded by the Charlotte loss, the Houston loss, the Milwaukee loss. And it's not the loss, it's the process in which they came at, and it's the way that the Magic have played in those games that have made me feel the way that I do about those games and the losses, even going back to a week and a half ago, you know, the win over Portland. Like, it feels like it's been about a week and a half of like the Magic just haven't quite been right. And I don't know exactly why that is. And I think we'll talk more about that now, but I've just had this like feeling, this just like burning, this constant burning, like negativity and frustration over the course of the last couple of days. I don't know if there are any Magic fans out there that can relate to that. I'm sure there are. I'm sure, as you know, I've been reminded on social media time and time again that there's a lot of people that just still feel overwhelmingly positive about the season and about the team right now. And I do still feel very positive about the overall season. It's just the team in its very in the moment current state that I'm having a difficult time feeling very positive about. I think I'm approaching apathy. I don't know that I'm quite there yet. So I was still very annoyed and very frustrated by this loss tonight, but I'm approaching apathy where I'm just like, just don't be in the play-in. I don't care what happens the last couple of games here. You do need to win one of them. If you only win one of them, there are some other things that also have to go your way, and we'll talk about that as well, so that you don't end up in the play-in. Being in the play-in for me right now would be an incredibly big disappointment. Losing in the play-in and like just not making the playoffs in general would just be an ultimate failure of the end of the season. Some people may feel that way. They may not feel that way. If you end up in the 7-8 game, you lose that game, and then you lose to the Bulls or the Hawks, and you just don't end up in a playoff series, I don't know how anybody could argue that the last fifth, maybe, of the season would like not be a failure. I don't know really how you would argue that at that point, and I'm hoping that we don't end up there.
Makes me laugh because
we were just talking about being the 2 seed,
literally,
and here we are.
What was it? 2 episodes ago?
It's like not even 1 episode. You
was
were
that one?
You were still in position going into the game yesterday against Houston. Yeah. That's right. You still had a legitimate chance to end up as the 2 seed. If you beat Houston, you beat Milwaukee in both games, even if you dropped the game to Philadelphia, it was still possible that you ended up as the 2 seed. And now, like, I'll be thrilled if we're the 5 seed.
Yeah. I just, like, legitimately, as you were talking, I didn't know where you were going. And then you threw in, like, you lose in the final play-in game to get eliminated from any hope of the playoff. It just made me a laugh, like, and hurt, because it's obviously a possibility. Like, it's a possibility.
Do you want to have a winner takes all, like, or a loser goes home game against DeJounte Murray and the Atlanta Hawks, given the way that we've played them this year? I certainly don't.
No, I don't. And it would be atrocious for the season to end that way. It would be ironic to an extent, because at the beginning of the season we just wanted to be in the play-in. If it'd been like in any scenario, if you would have said to us, hey, would you guys be cool with a winner go home against the Atlanta Hawks where you host in the play-in, and at any rate first game, elimination game, whatever, and we would have been like, yeah, sign us up. We would love that atmosphere in Orlando. And let's be clear here. I would love that atmosphere. That atmosphere would still be electric, but there would be a background thoughts in the back of your head of, this is so disappointing. Like, this is so disappointing. And even if you win and you get the 8 seed, and then you're blessed with the Boston Celtics in the first round, it's like, yeah, you're in the postseason, but it was a rough road to get there that you didn't think was even possible the last quarter of the season, last half of the season. You were like, we're trending upward. And then there was a part of the season, Jonathan, where you and I stopped talking about really play-in. It was recent. Sure, we talked about the last episode of like the 2 seed possibilities, but we still acknowledge the fact, like, if you have one bad week, you can easily find yourself in the play-in by the end of the season. At that point, was it likely? No. Now, it feels kind of inevitable, which is crazy too.
Don't say inevitable. I wouldn't say it's inevitable.
But it feels that way. Like, after the stretch that we've had, and then to lose, you lose on Friday, your final chance of, hey, you control your own destiny. Because you lose Friday, you go into Sunday, and you just have to hope other teams lose. I don't want to do that. So it's just like, it's very doom and gloom. But like, what was there to suggest in this Milwaukee Bucks game without Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo that the game on Friday is going to be any fun. That this team is going to show up, and I hope they do. And I'm open to being surprised, but at this point, I am thinking very much like this is the worst case for my mental sake. Of like, I'm just expecting that we make the play in at this point, and then whatever happens, happens. I wouldn't be shocked either way.
So really quickly, I want to jump in because we totally went over like our normal housekeeping stuff. Just a quick reminder, we are going to have an episode of the Six Fan Show outside of Kia on Sunday after the game against the Milwaukee Bucks. So at that point, you'll know how the end of the season went. You'll know where the Magic are in terms of the playoff picture, and just head outside of Kia, meet up with Ben, and just sort of give your take on the season and how we sort of ended the season. And sort of what lies ahead when it comes to the playoffs. But to jump back just a little bit, so shout out to the Lando who tweeted this out a little bit ago. There are basically two plausible scenarios for the Magic to make the playoffs, not the play-in. Number one, if the Magic beat Philly, if they beat the Philadelphia 76ers on Friday, you're in, right? Because you have your magic number there. You'll finish above Philly in the standings, and then Miami will not be able to catch you if you win in Philly on Friday. If you lose to Philly on Friday, the Pacers play the Hawks on Friday. If the Pacers lose, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The Pacers play the Cavs on Friday. If the Pacers lose to the Cavs Friday and you lose to Philly, you just need to go into Sunday and beat Milwaukee. Sunday may not mean anything to Milwaukee in terms of standings. They may rest a ton of guys. Who really knows? But if the Pacers lose to the Cavs on Friday and the Magic beat Milwaukee on Sunday, you're in. Or if the Pacers beat the Cavs and you lose to Philly on Friday, if you beat the Bucks and the Pacers lose to the Hawks on Sunday, then you are in the playoffs. But if you lose to Philly and you beat Milwaukee and the Pacers beat the Cavs and the Hawks, then you end up in the play-in. So
you know what that...
Not an inevitability. You still control your own destiny to a certain extent come Sunday if the Pacers lose to the Cavs, which I would probably say that game is like a coin flip.
But which to that point, I would say that's at that point, it's not really in your... control at that point.
Well, you can go into Sunday in control of your destiny if the Pacers lose.
Yes.
That just depends on everything that happens Friday. But you might have a chance to control your own destiny Sunday, but it's just depends on what happens on Friday.
You know what I thought about when you started talking about the possibilities, like, hey, here's what needs to happen and all that kind of stuff. Immediately, I zoned out after like 50% of it, and I just thought about when we were first learning the in-season tournament. And I was like, this is way too much. Let's just win the games in front of us. So that is what I immediately thought. I was like, hey, just beat Philly on Friday.
I mean, we've been saying that, though. And
get me out of
it was
these.
Just beat Charlotte. Just beat Chicago, which we did. Just beat Houston. Milwaukee.
This is the ultimate one. This is win and you're in. It should absolutely, there was no reason for the Orlando Magic for this to not feel like a game seven type intensity when you're playing against Philly on Friday. It's huge. It cannot be overstated. It's not possible.
The same is true for Philly though.
Exactly.
Philly doesn't want to be in the play-in.
Game seven. That's what I'm talking about. Like this is high stakes. Both teams are going to want to win. Who is going to show up? Who's going to come out with their hair on fire? And this is what you want as a basketball fan. You want high stakes basketball. Well, Magic fans, you're going to get high stakes basketball and you're going to want to puke the entire time. And if they can pull it out, then it will be huge. Moods will be shifted entirely based on one game. And we go from there. And guess what? My apathy will go away. My apathy let's be honest. My apathy is probably going away as you guys are listening to this in real time on Thursday because I'm thinking about Friday. But there was nothing more depressing and more apathy inducing than watching the game yesterday against Houston and watching this game against Milwaukee, I found myself doing something that like doesn't happen a whole lot. I talked to my wife the entire second half. She's on the couch next to me, and we're talking about stuff. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on in our lives right now, but like we're talking the entire time. Normally I am just like locked into the game. We'll talk from time to time, but we talked like the entire second half because the game was over and I just didn't care anymore. So this game against Friday, against Philly on Friday is ginormous. Hopefully these guys wake up a little bit, understand the moment. They haven't been great in big games this year. They've won big games. There's a difference. But like they haven't been great in ones that are just like the Miami Heat game from earlier in the year. Jimmy Butler out. Big game. Whatever. Blah, 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 blah. So we'll see.
I tweeted towards the end of this game that the future has never been brighter, yet in this moment, I feel hopeless.
That was the most emo tweet ever.
Well, listen, like there's a lot of truth to that. Like when I step back and I just look at what this team has done this season, and at this point, like sort of regardless of what happens, yes, will the end of the season be a disappointment if things don't go our way? And honestly, even if you end up in the play-in, I'm going to be disappointed, right? Because you put yourself in a position the last several weeks of the season where if you just win the games that you should, you'd comfortably be in the playoff picture. And now it may come down to hoping that the Cavs can beat Indiana and hoping that Milwaukee doesn't care about the final game of the season and sits all of their guys so that maybe you can get an easy win. And it shouldn't come to this. It should not have come to this. But again, when I look back at this season overall and I look at the state of our team and the pieces that we have moving forward, the future has never been brighter, right? Like if you just look at the collection of the young talent the Magic have, it's hard to argue that we've been in much better positions throughout the history of the franchise. Yes, you can talk about the Shaq teams. You can talk about the Dwight teams. Like this team, in terms of young talent, is right up there with those teams. But I just feel hopeless about this one, the game that we were watching, because they just didn't seem to have that fire that we've seen that Jamal Mosley teams have you know, it's been their signature. And it was like the run is not coming in this game. And I haven't said that hardly at all in the first three seasons of Jamal Mosley's tenure here. But against Houston, against Milwaukee, it just didn't feel like that run was ever going to come. And it didn't come in those games. And to that point, I felt hopeless. And then when you just look at the overall picture, it's like, okay, well, we said we guys on the team talked about how big the Charlotte game was, how big the Chicago game was, how big the Rockets game was, how big the Bucks game was. And again and again and again, with the exception of the Bulls game, they've come out flat to start these games, gotten in huge holes early on, and just not have been able to dig themselves out of that hole. So why should I go into the Philadelphia game feeling any sort of confidence or any sort of like, oh, well, they're going to snap out of it now and they're going to do this? And I am just like really perplexed and confused at what we've been watching, because this is not, I don't recognize this team. This is not like old habits are coming back. We've been playing really well and now we're getting this reality check. Like, no, this team at no point during the season, and I don't recall the last two previous seasons, has the team looked this like disengaged. And that's what has been so concerning and frustrating for me. I don't recognize this team, so I don't see just how they're going to snap out of it. They could just wake up tomorrow and be back to the Orlando Magic that we've watched all year long. And some people are saying, hey, maybe this is just who we are. I don't buy into that, because the offense hasn't really been a massive issue these last few games. Like, you've scored enough points to win these games, but your defense just has not been the Orlando Magic defense. We're the second or third best team in terms of defensive rating the entire season, not just a small chunk, not just the last 20 games, not the last 30 games, the entire season. That's who we have been. We have been one of the absolute best defensive teams in the entire league all season long, And now the last four games were like, we don't really care about defending at all. That's what hasn't really made sense to me. If it was like, oh, well, the Magic, you know, have just been shooting really well all season, or they've been shooting really well the last 2 months, and now everything's sort of coming back down to earth, that hasn't been the case. They've been winning with defense. So I am just really confused at this point. I wish I had some type of analysis to give of like what's happening with this team, why they're losing. I don't have that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
There was after, and I don't know how we want to do this layout with these games, Jonathan, but like after the Rockets game, Jalen Suggs says in his post-game presser, we just didn't have the urgency. And it's like, well, what else? What more proof do you need that this team just like maybe isn't all the, it definitely
after
isn't
after the Charlotte
all the way
game, he said they're finding it difficult. Well, he is finding it difficult to be locked in because he's so excited about the playoffs. You got to win the games to get there, my guy.
Yeah. So there was that. And then I was like, I'm glad that he's at least saying that they lacked the urgency. Surely it doesn't happen in the Milwaukee game. Milwaukee game starts, and all of a sudden, Milwaukee starts the game 0-3. You're up 5-0, and I was like, oh, I have a great first impression of how this game's going to go. I feel okay. Like, we just started the game. Obviously, a five-point lead isn't much, but Milwaukee starting 0-3, like, it just felt like the I hate this word. The vibes were good to start the game. Dell hits his first three, and I was like, oh, my gosh. These guys are going to win a basketball game. We're so back. And then you look up and you're down, what, like 8 at one point in the first quarter. You come back a little bit. Then all of a sudden, the second quarter, you find yourself down, what, like 17, 18, 19 points. And it's like, whoa, what is going on? How is this happening? How is this happening? These guys don't even have Giannis or Chris Middleton. And listen, I understand the Bucks are a good team even without Giannis. I get all of this. But like, not having Giannis and Chris Middleton is a greater disadvantage than not having Franz Wagner and Gary Harris. It's just what the facts are. I understand the value they bring to this team, but like, you can't overstate what Giannis is to that team, and you can't overstate what Chris Middleton is. Damian Lillard, the first buckets of the game were free throws from Dame in that one too against the Bucks, and it's like he gets fouled on that three by Jalen. Just maybe that was the beginning of a bad omen, but yeah, they just, I mean, all this to say, Jalen acknowledged that they didn't have the urgency against Houston. And then it became pretty apparent against the Bucks. There wasn't a lot of urgency. Like, there was a lot of lapses, I should say, in urgency. Then you'd get it and you'd make a little run in that first quarter, especially. But it just felt like you were digging your grave kind of from after you started up 5-0. Then we're fouling Damian Lillard on a three. And then we just foul three-point shooters that entire game. So it was crazy.
And then Jaylen has the exact same thing done to him as was done to Dame. You know, one of those first possessions of the game on a three attempt in the corner. Same exact contact, same exact spot on the arm.
Yeah.
Whole thing, doesn't get the whistle. He picks up the technical, which I was fine with, to be honest.
I thought he was going to get ejected.
It's incredible. That was just an egregious no call there.
Mm-hmm.
But like going back to the Houston game, like we'll spend a little bit of time talking about these games. The Houston game was almost like a mirror image of the Charlotte game, like with just Houston knocking down shots, sort of getting that confidence underneath them. They weren't really hitting shots at the same rate of like a Brandon Miller, but they still shoot 5 of 10 from behind the arc in that first quarter. And then in the first half, they're 7 of 17 from behind the arc, good for 41%. You're down 12. And then outscored 34-31 in the third, and then you outscore them 24-21 in the fourth, and it just really wasn't enough to come back in that game. But Jaylen, after that Houston game, saying like we lacked the urgency, to me it's just strange that this is the time of year that you have to have urgency. Paolo talked after the Milwaukee game tonight about how these teams that they've been playing recently are gearing up for their playoff runs, and so are you, but they're going against guys that, you know, in Damian Lillard and Bobby Portis and other guys on that Milwaukee Bucks roster who have just tons of playoff experience and have championship level experience, where the experience is really what you're lacking there. But the back-to-back was a factor. I'm not going to act like it wasn't. It always is. The fact that you had to travel from Houston to Milwaukee is a crazy back-to-back. Milwaukee was playing a back-to-back, but it was a home back-to-back, so they weren't traveling. But I would be more on board with that excuse is if the Magic looked really good early on in the game and then into the second half just sort of ran out of gas, which is what you would typically see when you play really well, but you end up losing the second night of a back-to-back. That was not the case in this one. The Magic just, after those first few possessions, just didn't really have it in this game. Guys didn't really look all that engaged defensively. And then like the offensive lapses when it comes to, you know, the turnovers and just, you know, not great shot selection out of the Magic. I think it was like 16 turnovers tonight, which led to 20 plus points off turnovers for the Milwaukee Bucks. And yeah, I'm just at the point where it's frustrating seeing how good this team has played all year long. And now we're getting into the point of the year where it's like, hey, like you don't need to win every game. Like we were talking about the last six games, like you go 3-3 in those, probably going to be okay. It's going to be hard to do that at this point now with the last couple of games that you have. We'll see what happens, with the Milwaukee Bucks. But the fact that you've had the opportunity to just like close the door on the play-in and some of those teams that are below you and haven't been able to do that. This team is young. This team is inexperienced. Some people have said, oh, maybe the team is just exhausted. Like they played 80 games. Everybody's played 80 games up to this point. So it's what excuse can we make for ourselves that every other team can't make for themselves? And I don't buy into the thinking of like, oh, hey, this is just who we are. Because let's look at the last four games. I went ahead and I pulled up some of the metrics for the last four games here. So you're 3-1. In terms of offensive rating, the last four games, you're 8th in the league at 116.8 points per 100 possessions. Defensive rating, you're 24th in the league at 116.7, and your net rating is 15th in the league at 0.2. Assist to turnover ratio, you're 9th in the league. Not really all that bad. Total rebound percentage, you're 8th in the league. Your turnover percentage, you're 6th in the league. So it's not like you've just been doing everything wrong, right? sure, there have been some issues from game to game. The offense has mostly been fine, but the defense has just been non-existent. And that's your calling card. You've been saying that really since the day that Jamal Mosley got here, but especially this season, like going into training camp. And the Magic, for the most part, by far and large, this season have hung their hat on a night-to-night basis on the defensive end. And all of a sudden now, for whatever reason, they can't do it. They're not doing it. And that really has been my biggest issue. It's not the losses. I can deal with losses if you're playing the right way. If you're playing even remotely the way that we've seen you play the first 76 games of the season, but you have not looked like the Orlando Magic at all for the most part of these last four games.
I'll make just a quick correction here. The last four games, you are 1-3. I believe you said 3-1. That's why I'm correcting.
Oh, sorry.
But no, you're good.
Obviously, yeah. We're talking more about losses now than wins. So you're 3-1 in the LW column.
There you go. But I just, like you said, it's very hard to pinpoint. Aside from defensive intensity, I mean, you read off of those rankings and it's pretty clear. That's all it is. There's really not much analysis there. And it's like, well, why was it Jalen? I don't remember. And I don't remember if it was when he was on the show or if it was on something else, but I feel like I remember him talking about defense is a whole lot of effort. It's just putting forth the effort, wanting to be great on the defensive end, which is why Jalen Suggs typically is great on the defensive end and why he is who he is. So it's suffice to say, the lack of urgency they came out with translates a lot on the defensive end in bad ways for your team. And that's really all there is to it. There's no reason that you should be giving up 124 to the Hornets. They're terrible. They're awful. And I know that Brandon Miller had a great game. We've talked about this game ad nauseum a couple episodes ago. But regardless, point stays the same. Like, that started it, it feels like. And you just haven't really been able, aside from that Bulls game, like this Rockets game, the Bucks game, just so many lapses in judgment defensively as well, miscommunications, and it really does put you at a loss for words, because it's like this team defensively was always pretty much rising to the occasion, and all of a sudden it's just not happening.
And we saw them do it in the first quarter. What was that Sunday against the Bulls where they scored 14 points right in that first quarter? So we it's not an issue of are you capable?
Right. We know that.
It's,
we know you are.
Yes, they're injured. Like Franz Wagner being out is a massive blow. Gary Harris being out is a massive blow. Jonathan Isaac clearly not being 100% right now is a massive blow, but not to the extent that you're giving up 118 points to Houston, 37 points to Fred VanVleet, 117 points to Milwaukee, and 30 points to Bobby Portis. Like, yes, these are good teams, but for how good you've been all year defensively, it's just unacceptable. And the team has shared that, right? Like after tonight's game, Jamal Mosley talked about the fact that they have to be more focused and locked in defensively.
Yeah.
It seems like it's really that simple. Like the effort isn't there, the energy isn't there, the focus is not there right now. That's concerning.
Now that we've been negative or constructive, if you will, do you have anything from the games, and we can handle this on the other side of a break or something, but anything from these that have exuded positive things to you that you've been like, I like the way this guy's playing or the team is doing this well? Has there been any of that? for you in the last couple of games?
The biggest positive takeaway for me from the last couple of games is the fact that our patrons are the folks that help make each and every episode possible. Want to give them a very special quick shout out here. So if you haven't heard about our Patreon already, again, like I said, those are the folks that help make each and every episode possible with their financial support. You can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We give our elite and Hall of Fame tier patrons a special shout out each and every episode. Let's go ahead and kick it off with the Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson Tulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal Magic Player History, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Donkey Punch Dave, Paolo and Francis, Warmth Pierre, A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Danimal, Bobby Skinner, Goaty 93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Edmund Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Time, Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear 95, Shred, Junior Bruce, Half Recon, Shahan 177, Bobby the Don, Himlo Ben Himro, R Improv 221, Ray Pastrana, Magic Kid 714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampete, Random Hustle, Only Franz Maria, Keith Walls, Fritz Currency Kev, Brub Sal, Kason Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Simpson, Chansu, Tom Gatson, Dead Air, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Magic Wire, Debo 1980, Magic Matt, Michael Thompson, Mama Richmond, Next Napa, What's Up 2024, Dylan Fay, Sammy, David Duffy, and Smith's Sheik's Ship Sinks. A big shout out to all of our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow.
And one of our sponsors, our partners on the show, Jonathan, Jam Hot Chicken. Jam Hot Chicken's bringing jams, culture, and hot chicken to the heart of Winter Park, located 400 West New England Avenue, Suite 13, Hannibal Square. Great outside setting. Get yourself a chicken sando, or get the box with some comeback sauce on it, some pickles. It's a great establishment over there, Jam Hot Chicken. You guys can follow them at Jam Hot Chicken on all social media. Go online, jamhotchickenfl.com. Look at the menu, order ahead. They've got playlists. They've got everything. So go to Jam Hot Chicken. Let them know, hey, the guys at the Six Man Show is how I heard about you guys. I can't wait to taste this chicken. That's all you got to say. So that's, we love those guys and girls over there. They do a great job. Jam Hot Chicken.
So what is like a positive takeaway for me from like the last couple of games or like the last four games? For me, it's been Jalen Suggs. Like if you have 5 to 10 Jalen Suggs on this team right now, you've won the last four games in a row, you know, pretty easily. He has been the one guy that I feel like has had that intensity, maybe not quite to the level that it needs to be, but he's probably been the best at that. Over the last four games, he's averaging 16.5 points on 53% shooting from the floor, 35% from behind the arc, adding 2.3 rebounds, 2.8 assists, a steal and a half, and almost a block per game. Jalen, especially, I think it was the Houston, if I'm not mistaken. Without Jalen in that game, like that game is nowhere even close. I'm going to go back to the box score now to see exactly what that looked like. But that's been a positive for me. Markel has also been rather good the last few games. Wasn't fantastic tonight. Jalen, Tuesday night in Houston, 21.7 of 13 from the floor, 2 for 5 from behind the arc, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Jalen was really good. But yeah, Markel has had a little bit of a resurgence, talking about his last four games, 14 points, 54% from the floor, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, half a block a game, has been shooting the ball a little bit better. You know, he's made a couple of threes in the last few games, shooting the ball a little bit better from the mid-range. That has been promising. I don't know that I love him in the starting lineup still, you know, even given the injuries. Just feels like Paolo, you just have to optimize spacing. But Jamal Mosley tried to put Caleb Houston into the starting lineup, and Caleb Houston hasn't been able to make anything, which has been really unfortunate and hasn't helped the spacing either. So you can't just put all the blame on Markel Fultz. Like, other guys that need to produce spacing aren't producing spacing. So those are the main positives for me. Paolo hasn't been... I wouldn't say he's been awful. He hasn't been quite as good, but he's also getting, like, there's a photo from the Houston Rockets game where Paolo's driving to the basket You don't see a single Magic player in the frame. It's sort of like a bird's eye view, like above the basket. And all five Houston Rockets defenders are in the paint, basically trying to guard Paolo Banchero. So the attention that he's getting right now, the spacing has essentially been non-existent. And it's just forcing him to settle for like suboptimal shots. Like, you know, every single time he touches the ball back to the basket, not really getting downhill and getting to the rim because he's having to get through three and four guys to get there. And yeah, I mean, he had a pretty efficient night tonight against Milwaukee, but yeah, that has not been great. He has not looked the same.
No,
but he's had most everyone has not looked the same. Correct. I'm not putting all of the blame or even most of the blame on Paolo.
No, you can't. I mean, you just can't. There's a lot more to look at before you necessarily look at him now. He is supposed to be the tone setter.
Defensively, I will say he's not been good. He has not been engaged. And to your point, he is the leader of this team and needs to be setting the tone in some regard.
However, offensively, I've been impressed. Last couple games, 6 assists in both of them. Houston game, he has 4 turnovers, and you know that's not great. But he has 2 turnovers against the Bucks without Franz, 6 assists, and respectable from the field. Really, for me, it's his just continuing to see the vision put on display from him in terms of passing the basketball, getting his teammates involved, understanding, okay, I legitimately can draw 4 to 5 bodies if I get to the rim, and then making the right read, getting the ball, you know, high elbow, going to the post moves and seeing who is open, what read when the double comes. He just continues to impress me in that respect. So I'd say there's been quite a few moments for me where that's the case, where I just like, no, like, man, Paolo just continues to get better and better, seeing the floor and getting his teammates involved. So for me, that's probably my positive, aside from the, you know, the Jalen Suggs one that you obviously mentioned.
One that I would add, probably Cole Anthony. The last couple of games, we've seen just like a little bit of a reemergence from him. Last couple of games, 12.5 points, 55% from the floor, 75% from behind the arc, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, half steal, half block. You know, good for one old stock a game, Cole Anthony. The turnovers tonight, he had some really, really rough ones. But offensively, like, we're going to need him to give you anywhere from 12 to 15 points tonight in the playoffs on, you know, relatively respectable efficiency. He's been really efficient the last couple of games shooting the ball, and that really needs to continue from Cole. Outside of that, I don't have a ton of positives right now.
No, like that's, I mean,
that's
there's
me
not
digging.
There's, of course. And I mean, you know, we talk about so much negative. It's good to focus on some positive in life, but that's the reason I brought it up. Was just because I wanted to talk about anything that you might have seen that's good. Maybe the listeners wanted a slight pick me up. Hope we were able to provide you at least a slight one right there. But for the most part, you know, we're reacting to this right after, basically after the game. So the emotions aren't necessarily in check.
And overwhelmingly, like, when you look at the future of this team, we're still in a fantastic spot. Regardless of how the team looks right now, I know in the right situation, Paolo Banchero can be one of the very best players on the planet. I still believe that Franz Wagner is capable of being an all-star level player. If he wasn't shooting the ball so poorly this season, we probably at this point have already clinched a postseason spot, because you probably win a few more games, you know, if Franz is shooting the ball a little bit better. But like, we're talking about Franz like absolutely in the all-star conversation. And next year, like, we'd all almost guarantee that Paolo and Franz would both be all-stars. And then when you look at Jalen Suggs, who there were so many question marks around Jalen heading into this season offensively, he's put a lot of those to rest. Even like the self-creation stuff, for me, he's shown enough flashes that I'm really excited for Jalen Suggs' summer. Another healthy summer for him to work on his game and what the self-creation stuff is going to look like for him next year. So having those three like surefire guys that you know can be high level starters on a contending team, that's awesome. And then I do see a path forward where we can upgrade the other guard position in the starting lineup. We can upgrade at center. Some of these young guys are going to have bigger roles and they'll be better next year. When we talk about an Anthony Black, we talk about a Jet Howard. The fact that Jonathan Isaac has mostly gotten through the season healthy, hopefully he can really bounce back from this back issue that's going on and contribute and be the X factor in the playoffs that we know he can be. The speaking from experience, somebody that's had a lot of back issues, if your back isn't right, you just cannot move certain ways. Your body will not allow you to do that. So if they can't figure out this back thing with him in the next, you know, week or so, if we're fortunate enough to stay out of the play-in, that's going to be a real bummer, because I was really excited for the, like, the official, like, Jonathan Isaac, like, coming out party, you know, to the NBA world, you know, with his defensive, you know, ability and just how great he's looked this season. So when you look at all these things, like, the Magic are in a very good position moving forward. They're going to have a ton of cap space this summer. If they're smart with that and you know, possibly a little bit shrewd, and they're able to, you know, bring in some pieces that can optimize, again, what Paolo and Franz do well, I think we're in a great position. The fact that with a week left to go in the season, we were still talking about potentially being the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, none of us would have thought that was possible. Like, overwhelmingly, the franchise is in a fantastic spot with the young talent that we have on this team. When I'm negative, I'm like purely just talking about the ending of the season for the 2023-2024 Orlando Magic. And sure, when I sit back and think about it, I can look past all that. But in the day-to-day, I'm just like, why aren't you playing better? I know you're better than this. And that's frustrating to me.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. There's really nothing else to say. That's you and I share a good amount of the same thoughts with that type of, with like just the current state, the future, what needs to be done. And at this point, the goal should just be avoid the play-in and evaluate in the offseason and add some vet maybe presence, some shooting presence. It's the same thing we've been saying for months for what the offseason needs to look like, and that's for future episodes to handle. But yeah, we're almost to that point. But first, we gotta beat Philly on Friday and avoid that play-in position.
Yeah. So when we take a look at the standings, and I don't even think we really went through. Oh, did we go through the state of the Magic? I think we totally skipped over the state of the Magic. We just got right into the negative, sad show. But the Magic, 0-2 on the week with losses to Houston and Milwaukee. They currently sit fifth in the Eastern Conference with a record of 46-34. 16 games back of, or how many games is it now? 16 and a half games back of Boston. 3 games back of Milwaukee. A game and a half back of New York. 1 game back of Cleveland. Tied with Indiana, but you're ahead of them because you have the head-to-head tiebreaker. 1 game up on Philly, 2 games up on Miami. Magic are 22nd in offensive rating, 3rd in defensive rating, 15th in net rating. Post All-Star break, 18th in offensive rating, 2nd in defensive rating, 10th in net rating. Franz Wagner missed the past 2 games with the right ankle sprain. Gary Harris missed Wednesday's game with the right foot injury maintenance, you know, the plantar fasciitis that he's been dealing with, not playing in back-to-backs. Gary Harris hopefully will play in every game for the rest of the season. Jonathan Isaac was questionable going into the last couple of games here with the back stuff. Played in a back-to-back for Jonathan Isaac, you know, which is a big deal. And Markel Fultz did as well. When we look at the standings, Luke, you can still technically catch New York. They've got, if you win out, you know, they've got at Boston, home for Brooklyn, home for Chicago. If, you know, they lose, what, 2 of those games and you win 2 of yours, you finish tied, the Magic will have the season series tiebreaker there. They also have the second tiebreaker when it comes to, you know, they would win their division at that point if the Magic win the next couple of games there. Philadelphia, obviously they're waiting for the Magic on Friday, and then they finish out the season at home versus Brooklyn. But if you beat Philadelphia, you'll finish above them and Miami as well. Miami's got Toronto two games to the end of the season. And then we've talked about the Pacers, who are at Cleveland on Friday and at Atlanta. So as crazy as it is right now, if you win out, you still have like a reasonable chance at finishing as high as three in the Eastern Conference. So as negative as we've been, if the Magic can just like snap out of whatever is going on or whatever has been going on, we could just be like, man, see how worried we were for absolutely nothing. You still finish third in the Eastern Conference. And then at that point, you'll probably have some kind of matchup that is like Cleveland or Indiana. If the Magic finished third, they would have beaten Philadelphia. So you clinch and Philadelphia ends up in the play-in, and so does Miami. So you'd be in that 3-6 matchup, probably facing either Cleveland or Indiana. And I think all of us would take that as a 3-6 matchup. So just beat Philadelphia, beat Milwaukee. Like if they can muster up the strength that it will take to beat Philadelphia on Friday, there's a very good chance that the game Sunday against Milwaukee won't matter to Milwaukee, and they'll sit Dame and Bobby Portis and Chris and Giannis, who's already been ruled out. But beat Philadelphia, and there is still a very realistic path for you to finish third in the Eastern Conference.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the Knicks play Boston, and Boston doesn't really have anything to play for. And they play Brooklyn and Chicago, so they're probably going to end up third. Mm-hmm. But even if you end up fourth, you're still going to face either Cleveland or Indiana, most likely. So finishing third or fourth for the Magic at this point probably doesn't matter. Like, do you want to see New York in the 4-5 matchup? Probably not. But Cleveland and or Indiana, I would, those would be my preferred matchups at this point. And beat Philadelphia. Sunday may not matter. Milwaukee, you may get a really big break there. It's our fan appreciation night. Milwaukee kicked our butt in theirs, and so did Houston. So it's our turn. So beat Philadelphia on Friday, beat Milwaukee on Sunday, and you and I will be sitting here and be like, man, we were so stupid for being so negative and being worried and all that kind of stuff. So this, yeah, as this, you know, 50 or so minutes has gone on, it's gotten increasingly positive. So let's try to carry that forward.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Appreciate you all for listening and getting through this therapy session with us. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You all have been listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you next time as we wrap up the 2023-2024 regular season for the Magic. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!